is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
All right, so this is the start of the Cliffo and Bronte podcast. Welcome, everyone.
Yeah, welcome.
But you are coming in halfway through a conversation.
Yeah, I'm a mid-spiral at the moment, and I don't want you to tell me the answer, okay, but we were just talking about SpongeBob.
Yep.
Naturally.
And I said he sells Krabby Patties.
Yeah.
That's the name of the burgers that he sells under the sea.
And yeah, correct.
We've been going backwards and forwards, killing us, trying to work out the name of the place where SpongeBob
works. I'm going to get it, because this was a Can You Beat Bronte question merely weeks ago.
I cheated. I had to tap out, okay. And I have Googled the answer.
You said the Crab Shack, which isn't right.
It's not the Crab Shack, but I'm bloody close.
I know Mr. Krabs is the owner.
What's the name of the clown on The Simpsons?
The Krusty Krab?
The Krusty Krab!
Yeah!
There it is, Bronte. Oh. The single greatest thing you will do today.
Honestly, it's all downhill from here.
It's all downhill from there.
Oh, my God.
Not for you if you've just hit download on the pod. It's a Gogglebox bonanza, guys.
Yep.
TV through the wazoo at the moment because all the shows are ending.
Mm.
So Lyndall from Maths today, Andy Lee from The 100 with Andy Lee.
Yep.
And George from Survivor as well.
Goodness, all the huge big shows.
Plus a bit of other stuff. A
little bit sprinkled in.
I do an office poll. You discover the unsexy, sexy thing about yourself.
Yeah.
It's just the usual fun and games.
Just the usual. But all that matters is that we've remembered where SpongeBob SquarePants
the
work.
The Krusty Krab. You're welcome.
Bronte.
Need to ask you some questions.
50 buckaroos cash on the line. Matt wants to win it today. Matt, your house sounds like a nightmare war zone. You have 2-year-old identical twins, brother.
Yeah, that's right, yep.
Holy. Can you tell them apart?
We can, but everyone else struggles too. But yeah, we can tell them apart.
Bronte said, can you tear them apart from all the fighting?
Oh, no.
Do they love each other at times, or is it all just going at each other?
No, they're pretty good most of the time.
That's good.
They have
their moments when they blow up, but yeah.
Oh, there'll be some good blow-ups, mate.
You might see one today if I lose.
Yeah, let's put you into the soundproof booth at least. We'll get 30 seconds of relative peace and quiet. And for you, Matt, I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock, mate. It's 5 questions. You good to go?
Yep, all good.
All right. Good luck, Matt. Your time starts now. In which city is the Notre Dame Cathedral?
Rome.
Who directed both Jaws and E.T.?
Pass.
What is heavier, silver or gold?
Silver.
What blood cells carry oxygen?
Blue.
Justin Trudeau is the leader of which country?
France.
That's what I guess too, France. We'll get Bronte back in. We'll ask the same 5 questions. And best of 5 wins, of course, if it's level, equal points. Benefit of the doubt rule goes to you. Matt, Bronte, 30 seconds on the clock.
Oh, all right, no time for chats.
Well, you dawdle in.
No, I didn't dawdle.
Now, every day I'm sitting here filling, and then I come in ready to play, and you're like, no time for chats.
I've been by myself in a soundproof booth.
That's not that interesting. You have nothing to say.
Maybe I should just focus.
Safe soundproof booth every day.
You're right. Okay, this is where I've gone wrong.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time. Are you ready now?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Your time starts now. In which city is the Notre Dame Cathedral?
Paris.
Who directed both Jaws and E.T.?
Steven Spielberg.
What is heavier, silver or gold?
Gold.
What blood cells carry oxygen?
Red blood cells.
Justin Trudeau is the leader of which country?
Canada. Oh, Canada.
Okay. Oh, Canada. Matt for that one said France. So. And I went, because I play along, you know.
Totally.
When I'm reading the questions, and I said France too. But
oh, all right.
We'll see how you guys went. Alicia.
So Notre Dame is the cathedral in Paris. Bronte got that one correct. Matt guessed Rome. Jaws and E.T. were both directed by Steven Spielberg. Bronte got that one correct. Matt passed. Gold is heavier than silver. Bronte got correct. Matt said silver.
Matt.
Red blood cells carry oxygen, which Bronte got correct. Matt said blue.
I don't think there are any blue ones.
I don't think that exists.
Although he is a Canterbury Bulldog supporter, so maybe
blue.
You bleed blue, Matt.
And Justin Trudeau is the leader of Canada, which Bronte got correct.
She had an absolute pearl, Matt. Thanks for having a crack at it, mate.
No worries. Thank you.
Speaking of champions,
yeah.
One landed down under yesterday. Did you see that former US President Barack Obama is in Australia right now?
I did. Him and his wife, Michelle, they haven't been pictured together in 5 months, I saw.
Really?
Yeah.
So what is their talk that there may be?
No, I would. I think they've
been
just
going
been
on. Or?
Just keeping.
She's very busy.
Private.
She's a very successful woman,
you
very
are
successful
so right.
author. Like, she's a busy. I would argue she's probably busier than him these days.
I agree.
But yeah, they're down under. I was absolutely caught by surprise by this.
Yeah.
I had no idea they were coming. I literally learned yesterday when I saw footage of them, you know, doing their thing.
Yes.
Like, oh, okay, cool. The Obamas are here. Do you know why they're here?
Holiday.
No.
Oh.
Quite the opposite work.
Oh.
They're here for a more than $1 million payday. So, and how Barack is making this money, it's essentially a cash grab. And by the way, I don't mean that negatively. You know, he's an ex-president.
Of course.
Earn a living.
Bills
mate.
To pay.
Yeah, good for you. He's doing a heap of speaking engagements, including in conversation with former Foreign Minister Julie Bishop. So she's going to sit down, interview Obama. That is playing to sold-out audiences, right?
Yeah.
Well, a good chat. But audiences paying $495 per seat for the privilege. And the other gig he's doing is a 9,000-seat auditorium.
Whoa.
With tickets for that one, a minimum of $195.
That's pretty cheap. I paid $200 to see a K-pop group that I didn't even end up seeing. I'd
that
pay
says more about you than what Barack Obama's worth.
$195.
This is TikTok Tuesday.
This is when we get to highlight some people or some trends that are going viral on everyone's favorite data-stealing platform, TikTok. Now, some people, I think, have developed an obsession for the man Elvis Presley recently after the Baz Luhrmann film starring Austin Butler. But there's some people who are born with it, maybe due to their own father's obsession, who go on to impersonate the man themselves. We have Elvis Roberts, who we believe that is his actual name, who is an Elvis impersonator. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Yeah, is that on your birth certificate, Elvis Roberts, or is there another name and it's just your love and obsession that was passed on to you that has crowned you or baptized you or whatever you'll say with the name Elvis?
No, that's on my birth certificate.
Wow!
That is a cool name, even if you didn't go on to become an Elvis impersonator. So I'm guessing it was Dad, Rusty Roberts, who is a big Elvis fan, who gave you that moniker.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Of course. Yeah.
So the reason we've got you on for TikTok Tuesday is you're a Queenslander, so tick there. You've got, nearly 7 million likes on TikTok, heading up towards the million followers on TikTok. When did your love of Elvis really start to shine through in your own right, I guess, like aside from your father?
Well, I was sort of born into it because of my dad.
Yeah.
And then he started doing a lot of Elvis shows when I was younger. And so always watching it and always hearing it, I'm like, man, this guy's so cool. And I remember saying like, Dad, I want to try this. And then I started doing my own little shows. And then I just started doing it on TikTok because all my friends were telling me like, man, you got all this Elvis stuff. Your name's Elvis. Like, just try it out. And I was like, nah, I don't think it's a good idea. And then I did it. And now look at me.
Look at you. Almost a million followers on TikTok, as Cliffo mentioned. And as you mentioned, there's a bit of Elvis stuff lying around. We should say 20,000 pieces of Elvis memorabilia. Is that right?
I think it's up to now 80,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, Leach, how old is your research?
80,000 pieces.
Yeah.
God, well, like, what do you, like, okay, what's some of the standout pieces of Elvis memorabilia that you own?
Well, when you walk into a house, the first thing you see is a pinball machine.
Oh, that's so
And
cool.
Then to the left, we have 17 showcases. We have 6 of Elvis's scarves.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
A little bit of his hair, I guess.
Oh, wow.
A little bit of his hair.
I think the most parts I like is the 50s stuff because it's all original 50s items.
That is so really cool. What is the most expensive piece that you had to buy?
Oh, what? That's a good question.
Thank you.
I know my daddy, he bought a shirt, which is just an original 1950s shirt. I think it cost him over $1,000.
Wow. I feel like a lock of Elvis's hair too, because his hair was so iconic.
Stunning, yeah.
Like, I feel like we could clone the guy from that. What is the key to impersonating Elvis Presley? Like, maybe you could give a few pointers to Bronte here, who might be able to
a female Elvis.
Yeah, that's right.
I've always been called
Elvis.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the key? Like, can you give us a couple of lines or a couple of pointers or whatever, and we'll see if Langus can put it into effect.
Yeah, well, the look is definitely the one thing.
Oh, she nailed that.
I've got that.
Oh, yeah.
Down to a T. Don't you worry.
And also, like, the clothes and you got to try and move and sing like him. But mainly, it is the voice as well, But if you have a good look, you don't want to go on stage. And then it's just like, whoa, like, try and sound a bit better.
All right, win him over with a look.
Yeah, I've done. Tick.
And then, look first, voice look first. Second.
And can we get a little bit of the voice? Is it too early to ask?
Yeah, what would you like me to sing, man?
Ooh, I don't know. Ooh. What's a good Elvis song?
I like A Little Less Conversation.
Yeah, of course.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's like hearing the man himself. Elvis Roberts and Aussie, Queenslander, absolutely killing it on TikTok. You can follow him at Elvis Roberts 3.
Oh, two others before.
There's two, but you're the main one in our eyes, man.
Thank you.
Elvis Roberts, thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. A couple of weeks ago, we talked on this show about typically unsexy things that we found sexy.
Yeah.
You brought this up from something to do with Fifi Box.
For a good cause on OnlyFans, Feet Box. She set up a OnlyFans account selling her feet.
Yeah.
Remember we had a stripper who rang us up, an exotic dancer, who said, strangely, men find her ears sexy.
And earrings. Like, they like when she wears big dangly earrings. Producer Alicia admitted that she likes when men mow the lawn. And then I admitted that I like when Dylan opens parcels and packages. Which
unsexy behaviors.
Yeah, that you found sexy. And during that time, like when I was talking with him off air about like what it was that I was going to talk about, and I said, yeah, I like when you do this. And I was like, what about for me? Like, is there anything that I do that is typically unsexy that you find sexy? And he's like, no, not really.
How offensive.
Well, he said it in a nice way.
That's like the whole does my butt look big in this kind of argument with the jeans. Like, you don't think about that. You just say something.
He was more like everything is great. Like,
he tried.
But I think we finally found what it was on the weekend, because we went into town to get coffee and breakfast, and I was driving. And we were driving down a street that has all parks in front of each other, not like beside each other. So you have to do a reverse parallel park into them. And I'm quite confident in my reverse parallel parking skills, because when I first got into radio, I was a street teamer, which is like a promo staff member out on the streets driving around the vehicles. You've got to be able to parallel park in like vans and big cars. So I was pretty confident. And he was like, you can't, it's going to be too tight.
I feel like I fight off the sexy music too early there. But I think I can see where it's going.
And I was like, I can do it. Just watch. And I did it. And he was like, it's one of the hottest things you've ever done.
There it is. There it is. You Oh, the God, the way the girl reversed parallel parks, boys.
He was like, that was really...
You should see it.
That was really well done. I was like, that's my thing.
I mean, for some people, it's candlelit dinners. No. For some, it's lingerie, whatever. And for some, it's reverse parallel parks.
I'll take it.
Dearly beloved.
Leap of faith with Cliffo and Bronte on Hit.
Speaking to our groom and our bride yesterday, they're getting nervous.
They're getting nervous. They've only got two more days as unmarried people that have been together for 15 years with two children.
Yeah, so speak now or forever hold your peace, guys.
Oh, God. Please don't. Big promo that we've done. Yeah, Vanessa and Dave will be getting married on Thursday by you as a celebrant, registered celebrant, and then pushed out of a plane. And for every year that they've been together, they will fall through the air with parachutes as a married couple.
So 15,000 feet, 15 years together. It's beautiful serendipity.
We planned it.
A word that probably won't be used when referring back to their Bucks Nights and Hens Nights.
Mm.
Always a wild affair.
Yes.
And Vanessa and Dave, they're an out there couple.
They are.
A couple of great Bucks Nights and Hens Nights. But I would say even their nights, very tame compared to what I have been reading this morning.
Right. You're getting inspo after the party. You should have done this before.
Yeah, no. Well, I think, so you can go on the listener app and hear yesterday because you and I both gave advice to Vanessa and Dave before the Bucks Nights and the Hens Nights and that sort of stuff. So you can get all that on the listener app. So it was just on my mind and I don't know. All these segments and stuff we do, I just do some Googling and up came a, you know, a Reddit thread.
Of course.
Where people comment all their stories and stuff.
Yeah.
9 stories out of 10, I would say, are not suitable for the radio or podcast.
These things that happened on Buck
just wild
and Hens
things.
Nights.
Yikes. Wild things that happen on Buck and Hens Nights. For example, here's one that is broadcastable. I'm a woman married to the man of my dreams. He has no clue that I hooked up with one of my bridesmaids at my hen's party.
Oh, God. Right.
I mean, that's pretty extreme. Police officer. Sorry?
I feel like even that's, like, compared to what I'm sure other people have gotten up to.
That's top end of the scale.
Yeah. I don't know.
But that's Reddit, mate. Everything is, you know what I mean? 100% every time.
Yes.
There's no middle ground on Reddit.
So what do we want to know? Things that people have done on Buck and Hens nights that are...
I reckon so.
Probably not what was on the agenda for the Buck and Hens, but that's what happens during these parties.
Let's just say 131060, wildest thing that you saw happen on a Buck or Hens night. Wildest things that happen.
Just they have a way of just pushing you outside your comfort zone, don't they? Probably the alcohol.
I'm a police officer. I went to an address on a call. It was a noise complaint last night. It was a hens party. And the girls legitimately thought I was a stripper. They were so disappointed.
Oh, no. That's why you've got to have those things booked.
131060. You can remain anonymous.
Of course.
You don't have to dob yourself in. Maybe you weren't even like on the Buck or Hens night. Maybe you just witnessed the debauchery in a nightclub or whatever.
I saw a pretty wild Bucks party going on the Magnetic Island ferry recently.
Really?
At like 4:30 on a Saturday afternoon. Again,
oh, they
not
were,
broadcastable.
They were into it, weren't they?
They were.
I feel like the addition of inflatable, you know, male genitalia.
Yeah.
Has added a real wild. So, I mean, you can get everything that gets the straws.
Yeah, all those party stores. My goodness.
Hats.
Mm-hmm.
131060. Jasmine's first up. Jasmine, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good. Wildest thing that happened on a hen's night. Bronte's already chuckling
this
over
is
there.
Funny.
What happened?
Yeah, so it wasn't me, but I was out one night and I seen a whole bunch of guys and they were duct taping a guy to a pole.
Oh, so it's a Bucks night. Okay.
Yeah. And I said, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, it's his Bucks night. And we're just showing him what it's like, what it's going to be like.
What? That, I just love the idea. Like, that's the type of shenanigans on a Bucks or Hens party that I really enjoy.
What a single bloke's, like, young bloke's attitude too. Like, this is what it must be like to be married.
Being out in the elements.
Duct taping you to a pole, man.
Oh, my God.
Jasmine, love it. 131060. Hamish, wildest thing you saw on a Buck or Hens night?
Back in New Zealand years ago, there was a real
real trend of having these mystery bus tours. Mm-hmm. And literally it was just a pub crawl around the city, and you get on, get off, have a drink, blah, blah, blah. But all they told us about this mystery bus tour was that finished in a room, quote unquote, which ended up being a purveyor of gentlemen's pleasures.
dictionary.
They had this thing set up for jelly wrestling, and so the guy who was getting married, they got him like all set up.
Oh,
so
that
gorgeous, cute little, you know, stripper or whatever she was, like, yeah, in her undies, got him in the pool, got him all undressed down to his jocks, and then she goes, okay, I'll just go and get ready. She goes out the door, and next thing, the door flies open. Here comes this big old mama.
Yeah.
Never been beaten. Absolutely slammed him. Just nailed him. Picked him up. Threw him all around the room.
That is the best story I think I've ever heard. And probably the nicest way, the best description I've ever heard.
Of a gentleman's club.
This is your Sick Fix at 6.
It's a sick fix with a bit of a sciencey twist for you this morning. So whilst the subject matter might gross you out, it's for a good reason.
Now, this is like when the teachers try to make science cool.
It's cool, kids. Come along. So scientists from the Karolina Institute in Stockholm, Sweden, have been looking at methods in order to reduce social anxiety within people. And what they found is that there is something with, if it's paired with mindfulness therapy, that does reduce the amount of social anxiety suffered within individuals that have it.
Okay.
So what they did...
So don't give up on the mindfulness and therapy.
No. You have to pair it with the two. But what you should possibly be pairing it with is smelling the sweat of strangers. No?
So I'm already doing all three.
Yeah. And how are you feeling? Reduced?
Chipper.
Great. So what they did was they had individuals who watched either a happy or fearful movie. So they had a group of people that watched either The Grudge.
Okay, yep.
Or then they watched, half of them watched The Grudge and half of them watched Mr. Bean's Holiday. And they...
Straight from your DVD collection.
Yeah, I know. They actually had to ask permission. And they got the different sweat from the different emotional states that were produced while watching this movie. And then they exposed 48 women who suffered from social anxiety to the smell of this sweat after completing mindfulness sessions. And they found that the women who were exposed to sweat from people who'd been watching the funny movie or the scary movie rather than just being exposed to clean air were less socially anxious.
Who thinks this up? Like, who's sitting somewhere in, what is it, a lab or a classroom
at the Karolina Institute in Stockholm, Sweden?
And going, anxiety is a big problem. I know what could solve it.
Well, but you
the
know,
sweat of people who watch Mr. Bean.
You know how I have this thing that you like the pheromones of the people that you love. So, like, there is something
proven
about, like, you don't think the person that you love, when they smell, they don't smell bad to you.
Yeah.
So, like, when that's so.
Pheromones are powerful.
Yeah. And so, when people sweat and you care about them, you're not grossed out by their sweat. So, I think
so that's the key to happiness. Find someone who's real chill,
yep,
real zen,
big,
and then just be like a horny
a
little dog. Get up in their sweat. Alpha Bucks is back tomorrow, Wednesday, the 29th of March, playing after 8. And this is for the podcasters only, guys.
It's for you guys.
Those lazy people who just tune in on the car radio or whatever, they don't get this.
We do love those people, though. Let's absolutely get that across the line.
It's all ears. We'll take all ears.
But you listening right now, you're on a different level.
Yeah, you've had to do something. You've had to hit play.
And we appreciate that.
We do.
To reward you, let's give you the clue for tomorrow and the letter. This person hates Sundays.
Yes, and loves lasagna. It is.
SpongeBob. No.
Garfield.
It's not S, it's G for Garfield.
SpongeBob was Garfield after Garfield, wasn't he? The OG, Garfield. So G your letter, Garfield your free answer. For tomorrow's Alpha Bucks on Hit and Listener. I know you're intrigued by this because all show I've been hooking, and we mentioned this in our pre-show meeting and stuff, that there is something that I don't think enough Queenslanders are cleaning, like, regularly enough. And I don't think you would clean slash wash this thing.
A household thing?
A household thing. And I didn't either until the weekend just gone, and it's completely turned my life upside down in regards to this one thing.
Do you think I have this in my house?
You definitely have this in your house. Everyone has this in their house. If you don't, it's a bit strange.
Okay.
Bronte Langbrook, for the first time ever on the weekends, I washed our pillows, and I'm never going back.
Oh, no.
I love it. Wash the pillows. Love the decision. Never going back. I'm now a pillow washer. Have you ever washed pillows?
Is it bad that my first reaction is you can wash your pillows?
Right. So I didn't really know it was a thing either, but it was so, okay, we were doing the whole bed treatment thing in the main bedroom on the weekend. So we turned the mattress over.
Flip the mattress,
like wash the pillowcases, wash the sheets, wash the everything. And I picked up my pillows mainly because I'm a sweaty guy. I'm a big guy, I swear.
Sure.
I picked up my main pillow that my head always rests on, and it was stinky. And it was all, like, had a few brown stains.
I was going to say, a bit yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what happens. I thought that's just what happens, right? So threw it in the wash. Long story short, it's come out puffier. I put a nappy sand stuff in there, fabric softener, the whole box and dye, so it smells good. It's completely reinvigorated the pillow.
That's good.
And it got me thinking, why isn't this more of a thing? Or is it a thing, but I'm, and my wife, Michelle, we're just not, you know, doing it.
Mm.
So I thought I'd do a bit of an office poll. Went round the office yesterday.
Is that what you were doing, lurking around?
I was trying to keep you out of it because I wanted to surprise you with the results.
Okay.
So this is it. This is what the majority of our office is doing when it comes to cleaning slash washing the pillows.
Okay.
Do you wash your pillows?
No.
Never.
No, but I mean, like, I replace them every couple of years.
I don't know. I don't think I have ever.
No.
Never?
Never. I'll probably just buy a new one.
We never wash our pillows. We just keep using them till our ears touch the mattress.
Do you guys wash your pillows at home?
Yes.
The actual pillows?
Yes.
Straight in the washing machine?
Yep.
Hang
out,
dry.
Yeah. Nice. No, are you supposed to wash a pillow?
No, I don't wash my pillows. Throw them out and get new ones.
Trudy, wash
the
pillow?
I do wash the pillows because it cost me $90, so I wash my pillows, yes.
Me and you, we're the weird ones around here. Yeah. No one's washing their pillows, but I'm 100% with you.
Yep.
When you've got a good pillow, you wash it, don't you?
You've got a good pillow, yep, wash it.
Suze, do you wash your pillows?
Nah. Throw them out and get new ones. All the cooties.
Yes. So the survey results are in. Out of the 10 people that I asked, only 2 are pillow washers. So we have an 80% non-pillow wash ratio here.
Clearly work in sales, though. Them being able to just buy new pillows every couple of years must be nice.
Well, how's this? The average pillowcase and the average pillow, I looked up the results, has over 170,000% the number of bacteria than the average toilet seat.
Oh,
so
what?
We might actually, if we don't start washing, the job in sales might actually have to happen.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.